Okay, would you turn your Bible to John chapter 19? This time we are not going to go back and forth. Just stick it with John chapter 19. There's so much in this chapter. Well, let's start with a prayer. Father, indeed, what good is it for us to have all the things we can have on this earth if we don't have Jesus in our heart? Father, we are not called to be children of God because we are special, but you are special. You choose to extend your mercy and grace toward us that we may have eternal life in Christ Jesus, and we may have that privilege being called adopted children of God. Father, we know that we have nothing to give it to you other than our heart. Take it, use it, melt and mold it, however you choose to do for your glory. I'm lifting up those who are struggling in this world for whatever reason. Comfort their heart this morning. Let their heart be open. Let our heart be opened to receive your word, that we may know how to follow you and how to honor you through your word. We pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this country. There are a lot of angers in this country amongst people, especially after this high school shooting. Father, we ask you to intervene. The reason they are in anger is because they do not have Christ. They do not have a Christ. All the dominoes are falling backward, and they are in facing the consequences of not having God in their heart. Father, we also lift up our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Another police officer got killed. Comfort their families, comfort their friends. Through this difficult time, they may come to know Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What does this word remind you of? I'm going to list the word. Chicken, faint heart, fraidy cat, gutless, jellyfish, quitter, scaredy cat, weakling, wimp, wuss, and yellow. And some of you are thinking, you. Okay, other than me. Coward, right? I don't think that anyone wants to be called coward. But there is a man who was a coward, and his cowardly actions were written about in the best-selling book, the Bible. So throughout the century, people can read and know about this man's name. Confucius, Chinese thinker, philosopher, social philosopher of the 5th century BC said, "To see the right and do not to do is cowardness." That reminds me of another quote from a British statesman. His name is Edmund Burke. He said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of the evil is for a good man to do nothing." We saw that a week ago, when the high school shooting happened, there were 4 deputies chose to stay put instead of running to the sound of a gunfire. And that was a Broward County Sheriff Department. When the Coral Springs Police Department officers got there, they ran right in. The first minute the officer got there, deputy got there, first minute, every minute, he kills 3 people. In 6 minutes, he killed 17 people. In other words, he sat outside for 5 minutes while 14 more kids got killed. For a good man to do nothing equals triumph to the evil. Am I making sense? Before we go into the text of, from the book of John, we need to check out the quick biography of the Pontius Pilate. It will help us understand why he did such a cowardly thing to Jesus and made his name known all over the world as coward. Since the Palestine was a troublesome spot, Rome decided that they need a Roman governor to control the area. Squeaky wheel get the grease, right? They sent him this Roman governor. History tells us that Pilate arrived on the scene and Pilate stayed in the area until AD 35. Then he was sent home. Not so good reason. On the way, some say that on the way home he committed suicide or somebody killed him. Pilate's reign in Israel just did not start on the right foot. In his first visit to Jerusalem, he came with the soldiers, all of his soldiers, banners, and a flag, and a whole enchilada, if you will. All on his banners, he had the embroidered image of his emperor Tiberius. And you may say, so what's wrong with that? When you go into government office in the United States, you have a picture of the President Trump. Not just him, every current president's picture get into the government federal office. Problem with that, the Emperor Tiberius image is that in Roman Empire, Roman Emperor was considered a god because they had a multi-god worship and emperor worship was a part of it. In other words, when he brought emperor image into the Jerusalem and he went straight into the temple and hung his banners in temple saying, my God, Emperor Tiberius is staying in this temple that's supposed to be for the Jehovah God only. Am I making sense? All of a sudden, Jewish people went ballistic. They would not stand down. So they start to ask him to take it down. He's a Roman governor. Why would he take it down? He's a mere occupant in this colony. And after Pilate made this mess, Jews followed him all the way to Caesarea. I didn't bring the map. Where is that book? I could show you the book, right? Jerusalem is located in the middle of Israel. And Caesarea is near the Mediterranean Sea on the west coast. So if you travel northwest from Jerusalem, you would end up in the Caesarea. That's where the Roman governor's palace was. Jews followed him to Caesarea. A massive amount of people went there and started to demonstrate. So Roman governor Pilate put all of them into the amphitheater immediately, surrounded them with his soldiers. And he informed them all that if they don't go back to Jerusalem and stop making requests about this, and he would kill them all. This empire, according to the historian, that amphitheater was filled with the Jewish religious rulers. And much to his amazement, when he threatened their lives, do you know what they did? He stick their neck out, kill us all. Now it is a little dilemma for the pilot. Okay, killing a couple people might be okay, but killing all the Jewish leaders, that may not sit well with the Tiberius. Let's face it, politician does not like that kind of situation. So he backed out. All of a sudden, he realized he was the beaten man by this occupant people. Now he is under Jewish people's thumb. To make things worse, in Jerusalem on one occasion, during the first year of his rules, they needed more water. As a civil governor, he had to provide the water. But there was not enough water. So he decided to bring the aqueduct to Jerusalem. From Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem. To build the aqueduct, you had to have money. Right? Instead of just raising the tax, like a Democrat does all the time, he decided to rob the temple. Where did he get that idea? Robbing the temple treasury and get the money. Okay, let's build the aqueduct. Again, that did not sit well with the Jewish people. So these Jewish people went onto the street and started to demonstrate and yelling and chanting all that against the governor. Because Roman Empire, the politician, they think that known as they have iron fist. Have you ever heard that? Roman iron fist. Their mind, they think very simple. Kill them all, crush them down, they will listen. So what he did, Pilate did, he let his plain clothes Roman soldiers slip into the midst of the crowd. At the signal, they start to kill people on the street. Somehow that word got to the Tiberius' ear. Another check mark against Pilate. Later, Pilate eventually made a temporary dwelling place in Herod's temple in Jerusalem. Remember the Antonia fortress that I showed you? In the Herod place, he hung the shield. Guess what the shield has on the outside? Emperor Tiberius. This guy didn't get it. Again, Jewish people came, asked him to take it down. He said no. You know, one mistake is bad. Second mistake, you start to become idiot. That's what happened to him. There's called, I'm sure you guys heard the word, Pax Romana. Have you heard that? Pax Romana is a system that the colony system, not only the Roman soldiers made the street a highway all over their colonies and allowed those who were being occupied Roman Empire, they can appeal to the Roman Emperor directly if they have a problem. Since the Jewish people could not speak to Pilate anymore, they decided to take it all the way to the Emperor Tiberius. Guess what? They succeeded. And now, the Roman Emperor Tiberius looked at the Pilate with half closed eyes. You know, somebody you're really angry and you kind of squint your eyes and look at him. That kind of look. In other words, one more strike, Tiberius will take Pilate out of his post. He is in that situation. One more strike, he'll be out. He doesn't need any more trouble. So we will start at the verse 1 of chapter 19. Keep that in back of your mind. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And when the soldiers twisted the crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, then they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they struck him with their hand. And Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I am holding him out to you, that you may know that I find him no fault in him. The small portion of the scripture we are going to study is overlapped by what we already studied last week. But I think it is worth to go over. Pilate was a politician, let's face it. Like any other power-hungry politicians, he's never at loss for the idea to squirm his way out. So he played the card of sympathy. Scourge was a leather whip, knotted and weighted with a piece of metal or bones, and many prisoners never survived the scourging. It pains us to think that sinless, the Son of God, was subject to such a cruelty. He was innocent, yet he was treated as though he was guilty, and he did it all for us. He was slapped in the face before the Annas. He was spat on and beaten before the Caiaphas and the council. And Pilate scourged him, and soldiers struck him before they led him to the cross. And soldiers mocked him and beaten him with the rod. How much he suffered for us and how deeply he loves us. In my opinion, the movie, The Passion of the Christ, portrayed his suffering during this scourging correctly. I know some people in our church criticized me for endorsing this movie when it was released in 2004. How many of you guys have seen it? I highly recommend you to see it. I know. There is some off-the-wall Catholic theology in there. But no other movie portrayed Christ showed this much realism when it comes to scourging. Let me explain to you. The whip is about this long. The handle is about yet long. And the leather thong is about this long. And each one of them, as I mentioned, weaved with the metal piece and the bone. What it does, if the person is held up in about yay high pole, and this hand is tied under there. In other words, his back is hunched and bare. Am I making sense? And while he's in that position, and his leg is also bound. And the torturer will stand over there and this side, and they will start to whip. And the whip will come along and come around here and wraps around the rib cage. It's one thing to hit, and it's when they yank it that the metal piece and the bone digging in and take the chunk of the flesh out of the body. Many prisoners died on the pole at that location. Jesus took all of that. If the scourging was not bad enough, soldiers shoved down the crown of thorn on his head and mocked him and struck him with their hands repeatedly. Why crown of thorns? Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, Adam and Eve's sin brought the thorn and thistles into the world. Do you remember that? So it was only fitting that Creator wore a crown of thorns as he bore the sins of the world to redeem the condemned souls on the cross. Pilate thought surely this pathetic sight of Jesus would bring sympathy from the Jews to release him. He was sadly mistaken by the cruel crowd. Like wolves which smell the blood of their prey, they demand his immediate execution. Cross involves much more than an exhibition of innocent suffering. On that cross, the Son of God paid a price for the sins of the world. He solemnly declares the love of God and defends the holiness and justice of God. We are not saved by the feeling pity for Jesus. We are saved by the repenting of our sins and trusting Jesus and the sinless substitute. Don't feel pity for the Savior. Don't feel pity for the Jesus. But repent your sin and commit to him. The Roman soldiers went to such an extreme and punishment because without them knowing, satanic force were behind it, and they were having a heyday. Besides, unsaved men despise the truth of God and Jesus. Keep your finger in John. Go to Romans chapter 8, please. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. Have you ever encountered some of your coworker or your family member who just despise you, your God, your presence, for no reason? Why is that? Because they don't like you because of the Savior who lives in you. Just like these soldiers in the first 21st century, those who hate Christianity would tolerate word God. But when it comes to Jesus, all of a sudden the battle line is drawn. They despise the name of our Lord Jesus because a mere mention of his name remind them of their own sin and depravity. They hate Jesus with their ungodly passion. Speaking of God, about 2 years ago, all this time, when this Islam extremist and yell Allah Akbar, which means Allah is God, right? And or Allah is one. Media used to call it Allah. They didn't translate as God. About 2 years ago, they started to change and Allah Akbar as God is one. They are trying to make Allah as God. Did you notice? This world, carnal world, will try to ignore Christian God as much as they can. Go down to verse 5, please. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Note that word, "Behold the man." Therefore, then when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law. According to our law, he ought to die because he made himself," what? "The Son of God." Therefore, the Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid. I will explain then why. And went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and a power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You couldn't have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." I want you to note that greater sin as well. You might have seen this painting by the artist Antonio Cesari that is titled Ecce Homo. That's a Latin phrase. It means, "Behold the man." Pilate was so desperate to get out of this political jam, he even gave religious rulers, "Take him, execute him with a crucifixion. Do whatever you want to, just get him off my hand." The Roman and the Greek people has the numerous myths about God coming to earth as a man. So it's likely when the Pilate heard that Jews telling he pretended to be the Son of God, he portrayed himself as Son of God, he was thinking, maybe he is God. I really don't need this problem. Am I making sense? Can you understand the way Pilate is thinking? Roman governor, the Pilate was already impressed by the word and demeanor of Jesus Christ. Because he never met prisoner who was not begging for life. Was he indeed the Son of God who came to earth? And if that's the case, he just had his soldiers to whip and scourge the Son of God. That's not a good thing. In other words, he was in deep doo-doo. To make the matter worse, remember what we studied? His wife sent him a message. "Have nothing to do with this just man." And he's thinking, "Woman, you are not helping me. Guys, isn't that true? Sometimes the ladies just said that hurt you. It's like, you're not helping me, woman. You know, ladies are good at that kind of thing, with the exception of my wife. I'm backing out. Beep, 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 beep. Why did Jesus not answer Pilate's question in verse 9? Because Jesus already answered it. It's a basic spiritual principle that God does not reveal new truth to us if we fail to act on the truth we already know. Did you get that? And you may say, God, I want to know your will for what's the next step. And he already told you what you are supposed to do in the Bible. Now, if you're not doing that, he ain't going to tell you what you need to do next time. All he was concerned about was maintaining peace in Jerusalem and getting himself out of the hot water. Pilate did not deserve an answer. Fear, listen to me please. Fear and anger often goes together. When we are afraid, when we are weak, we go to other extreme, try to appear strong. That's what Pilate did as he reminded Jesus of his Roman authority. But his statement did not demonstrate his power, but only his weakness. Because if he really had the authority to release Jesus, why did he not? Why did he not? Because he, even though he was in the position of governor, if he released Jesus, the Jews will go back to Tiberius and nail him. So he did not want to. He condemned himself with his own boastful word. He was a typical, spineless, gutless politician. Don't get me wrong, there are some few and far between good politicians who would stand up for the principle and precepts. Verse 11 shows us three very important points that we must keep in mind. The power of authority is granted by the Lord. The power of authority granted by the Lord. Second point, Jesus was in charge and in complete control of the whole situation. Third point, there was a vast different degree of the sins and the punishment in hell for those who reject Jesus as their Savior and Lord. A lot of times people ask, what about those people in Africa? What about those people in such a place, a remote place? If they don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior because nobody taught them, the nature explains to them, as the book of Romans says. We human are out of excuse. For those who heard and reject time after time, they will face more consequences. Those who deceived people with their own false doctrines will face even more difficult punishment. Verse 12, please. From then, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend." Now they are playing political game. "Whoever makes himself a king speak against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, that he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now in the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour, note that please, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But he cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" This is a chief priest's answer. Chief priest's answer, "We have no king but" what? Is this a real Jewish people answering? They would not have any other king other than God. Why? I'm going to explain a little later. But they say they hated Jesus so much that they are willing to accept the Caesars as their king. Verse 16. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. It's likely the Apostle John used the Roman time, the 6 hours would have been 6 a.m. Remember, he's been going through all this night trial. But Mark tells us that Jesus was crucified at third hour, which is in Jewish time. It had been 9 o'clock in the morning. Pilate was on horn of dilemma. He could not afford another revolt in Israel, or Rome would eliminate him. Remember, I told you, one more strike, he would be out. Because he knew the temper of the emperor Tiberius. Pilate had two choices, either save his soul or save his neck. There's a kind of vague about the saving soul because we cannot see. Any of you guys have seen your soul? If you do, we need to talk. We have a straitjacket that can make you to hug yourself. But there's nothing vague about seeing your own neck. You like to keep your head on your shoulder in one piece. When you get down to the bottom line, chances are unbelievers will do just about anything to save his neck rather than his eternal soul. Wrong decision. Matthew chapter 16, please. Our memory verse, chapter 16, verse 26. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? A lot of people give up their soul for some cheap garbage on this earth. When Israel asked for a king, remember? 1 Samuel, God allowed him to have a King Saul. By doing so, the nation rejected God the Father. In 1 Samuel chapter 8. When the Jewish religious rulers asked for the Barabbas, they rejected God the Son. Today, Israel and many people around the world are rejecting the pleading of the God the Holy Spirit to repent and to return their heart to Jesus. There was a man who chose to be a professional baseball player, and he went to the 10th revival and got saved and gave his life to Jesus. God used that man mightily and brought millions of people to Christ. Billy Graham. His job was done. The Lord took him. He sees his own wife, Ruth Graham, in heaven. No more pain, no more sickness. Peter Janning, who used to be the anchorman for ABC, he had an interview with Dr. Billy Graham. And Janning asked, Dr. Graham, what do you think you will hear from God when you get to heaven? Dr. Graham smiled sheepishly and he said, I hope he said, well done, good and faithful servant. If he's hoping that he would hear that, I am in deep trouble. He's a humble man. You have here exactly what every man has to face. That is the ultimate decision about what to do with the Jesus Christ. For Billy Graham's case, he made it very clear to him. He would do whatever God wanted him to do. But Pilate cowardly tried everything to get rid of Jesus, but he couldn't get rid of him. God forced him to make a decision himself, and so does he for every person. When I was a baby Christian, I was reading through the Bible, and there was a portion when I read in Exodus, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And then he punished him. I thought, that's cruel. No, that's a flat out cold, man. Why would you harden the guy, poor guy's heart? He already been whacked by God. And so he can harden his heart against God and God whack him again. It's problem. It's one of those lost in translation. Proper translation should be, God made Pharaoh's own decision clear. Because Pharaoh chose not to follow God, not to obey God, so he made it very clear to himself, and then he punished him for his own decision. Am I making sense? Sometimes our English translation is not exactly understandable. I know some people think that our English translation is anointed, it is all that thing. No. The anointed version is a Hebrews and Greek, not our English translation. Am I making sense? Okay. Almost there. For who are born again Christian, if you are hiding that you gave your life to Jesus for whatever reason, let me ask you this question. Are you ashamed of him? Because you might lose your friend? I hope not. You might lose them, but you will gain the Jesus as your Savior, the Lord, and your eternal friend who will never leave you nor forsake you. Our God doesn't want you to be his secret agent, but rather his ambassador for Christ. Let me ask you another question. Come on, wake up. Right before your meal in the restaurant, do you pray? Okay, some of you, or forget the prayer. I'm hungry. If you choose not to pray because you are surrounded by your coworkers, why? Why are you ashamed of your Christ? He is the one who gave you food, even though you pay for it. He gave you the money. He gave you the job. Shouldn't you be thankful to him? So what if they call you a Bible thumper? Say thank you. Appreciate it. Are you afraid of others? When you see him, when you see our Lord, you ain't gonna remember those people who reject you because you stand up for Christ. Two applications. Number one, receiving Jesus Christ as your one Savior and Lord is not a cowardly thing. Rather, it is the most courageous thing any person can do against the cynicism of this world to Christianity. Second application. God does not reveal the new truth to us if we fail to act on the truth we already know and have. Don't ask for God's will, next will, until you do what he already told you to do. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand up and pray.